So we are continuing in our series in John's Gospel on the I Am statements. I don't know if you can see that slide, but so far we've looked at things like I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, and last week Emmanuel looked at I am the gate. Sorry, yeah, completely forgot. Kids, I'm sure you don't want to listen to me for the next 20 minutes. And Impact Extra, I believe, as well, is it? Impact Extra going out? Yeah. So last week, Emmanuel was looking at I am the gate, and this morning we're going to look at I am the good shepherd. And so what's interesting about these seven statements is they all only appear in the book of John. And while they all seem to be connected, they all happen at different stages during the book. So they're actually not closely related, apart from maybe the gate and the shepherd, which is part of the same passage. And so when we're looking at these, it's important to look at the context in what they were saying, because often John is, when he's talking about these statements, Jesus is referring to something back in the Old Testament, something bigger that happened before, something that the audience can identify with. And then there's the immediate context of what's happening here, who is he speaking to, and what does he actually mean. Some of them were spoken to the crowds, the public, some were spoken just to the disciples, and some were spoken to the Pharisees and religious leaders. Okay, and so we'll be cognizant of when we're looking at this morning to look back and say, what is Jesus talking about? What came before it? And what is the context? So prior to this, Jesus had appeared at the Sabbath Passover, the Festival of Tabernacles. And it was festival imagery during the Festival of Hanukkah, which was taking place at this time. And so symbols such as bread, water, light have appeared in some of these stories. And they became avenues by which Jesus unveils his heavenly mission. And so, preceding this in chapter 9, Jesus had healed a blind man. And in chapter 10, even though it happened 3 months later, there is an assumption that he's talking to the same audience. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the religious leaders. And so he refers back to chapter 9 and the healing of the blind man when he's in chapter 10. So we're going to turn in our Bible to chapter 10, and we're going to read, for context, we're going to read 1 through 18. So we're covering a little bit of last week in terms of the passage, but just to get the context. Okay. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whomever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from the Father. So you'll have noticed in our reading that we cover the I am the gate and then I am the good shepherd. And while the gate and the shepherds are part of the same story, the context is the same, as I said, that Jesus is speaking to the select audience of the Jews and the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders and the Pharisees. And so going back to chapter 9, we hear that Jesus just healed a blind man or a man born blind, and the Pharisees were investigating the healing. They were skeptical about Jesus' ability to heal. They interrogated the man himself in verse 15 of chapter 9. How did you receive your sight? They brought in his parents in verse 20, 21. We know he is our son, they said. We know he was born blind. But how he can see or how he opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. And so the blind man testifies that Jesus heals him, and the Pharisees hurl insults at him. And the parents sidestep the issue. They're afraid to stand up to the Pharisees and proclaim Jesus as the healer, as they too would be ostracized. And so the Pharisees, they threw the blind man out. And this is where Jesus goes in to challenge the Pharisees. They wanted Jesus stoned. They were looking to catch him out. And Jesus goes on full offensive with them, contrasting the blind man's new sight with their continued spiritual blindness and guilt, as they claim to know the truth, but really they don't acknowledge the truth at all. In fact, this blind man who refuses to follow the Pharisees, he's like the sheep of John chapter 10, verse 5, who do not follow because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And so here, the failed leadership of the Pharisees is described in chapter 9. It's given a severe critique by Jesus. They are the false shepherds compared with Jesus, the good shepherd. And so the events of chapter 9, the Feast of Tabernacles, and chapter 10, this Feast of Hanukkah, are almost 3 months apart. But John wants to see us see a literal unity between these two passages. The criticism of the Jerusalem leadership in chapter 9, in that dramatic blind man story, paves a way to launch the identifying of the good shepherd, which is the principal theme of Hanukkah, the festival which was happening at that time. Okay, sorry, I've just skipped a few of the slides. Okay, so those of you who are Irish here, and I don't know about the rest of you, you know that the Irish, we generally don't like to complain. I was listening to the radio during the week, and there was a presenter on, and she was saying, you know, she was talking about going to a restaurant, and she said, if somebody had brought out her food and it was completely burnt, she probably wouldn't complain. And that's probably, you know, true of a lot of us. And when she was pressed on it, the reason she gave was she didn't want to upset the vibe. You know, she was on a night out or a day out, and she was in a restaurant. She didn't want to upset the vibe by causing confrontation between her and the waiter or the chef. And so, you know I can certainly empathize with that stance. I'm not known for my complaining in restaurants. And often it's easier just to let things go, just not to ruffle feathers when we really probably should. And this is where we find Jesus at the start of chapter 10. We have this idea sometimes that, you know, he says, I am the good shepherd, I am the gate, and we think it's a nice statement, you know, we can identify with fuzzy little sheep. But in this situation, it's quite tense. You know, Jesus is being very confrontational. He's very passionate about the fact that the Pharisees have been mistreating this blind man. And here at this festival of Hanukkah, which is all about the good shepherd, he's taking his opportunity to let the Pharisees know what he thinks, you know, of how they've treated them and how they're treating their flock and their people generally. And so it's in this confrontational context where Jesus says, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd. And he's creating a bad vibe. He's here and he's in front of the religious leaders that are probably revered. and they don't believe he is who he says he is, and so there's quite a scene and probably quite tense. So let's look at the significance of the word shepherd. So God is depicted as a shepherd 24 different verses in the Bible, whereas we are depicted as sheep some 400 times. And in the Bible, the word shepherd is used as a metaphor for leader. A shepherd is also, it was the human leaders at the time, but also the civil leaders, the magistrates, the judges. They were also known as shepherds. And also the religious leaders, as we've just covered. The word pastor itself derives from the word shepherd. And so Jesus is stepping on a venerable Old Testament tradition when he describes himself as the good shepherd. The culture of the day understood shepherds and their sheep well. The shepherd is the principal image for describing leadership and is easily expanded into a metaphor for everyday life. And so the shepherding became a helpful image also for explaining the spiritual and practical leadership among God's people. And when we go back to the Old Testament, we see Moses as a shepherd come leader. We see David as a shepherd come king. We see Abel, Jacob, they were also shepherds. So it's scattered throughout the Bible. And so the point I'm trying to make here is that the Pharisees would be extremely familiar with the term good shepherd. And so the festival of Hanukkah, which I've mentioned a few times, this was also pivotal. This was it was called the Festival of Lights, but it was also about rededication. And just to give you a little history, there was a Jewish leader, Judas Maccabeus, and he was the Jewish leader at the time when the Maccabean War broke out, 165 BC. And so what happened at the time was there was a growing Greek influence, and so you had the Greek and the Hellenized Jews. These would be the Jews that were kind of swayed by the Greek culture. And so you had them on one side, and then you had the conservative Jews on the other side. And so the war broke out between these peoples, and Judas Maccabeus, he captured the temple and he rededicated it. And so this festival of Hanukkah is celebrating that rededication of the temple. And it turns out it was a focus for hard questions about leadership and failed leadership, because they asked the questions, but well, why did us Jews get influenced by the Greek culture? Why did we go over and forsake our traditions? Why did the temple lose its leadership to the external Greek influences? And it says, where were the shepherds at that time? What must shepherds do today? So they're looking at what they're doing today and with a view of the past as well. And so in synagogues everywhere at this time, there would be critiques of leadership. And so there's the context where Jesus is directly talking about good shepherds at a time when the Pharisees themselves would be discussing what's a good shepherd, what's the role of a shepherd. And so as we look at the passage, I want to look at three separate points. The first is the good shepherd versus the hired hands. And I imagine when Jesus utters the word, "I am the good shepherd," that the Pharisees were immediately taken back to Ezekiel 34, which is a famous passage where God is talking about shepherds. They would be very familiar with this passage. So we're just going to read this, just verses 2 to 10. You don't need to turn to it. I have it here. "This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains, and so on every high hill they were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock but cared for themselves rather than my flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for the flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so the shepherds can no longer feed. feed themselves. I will rescue my flocks from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. So God is condemning the bad shepherds and describes himself as the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus accuses the Pharisees of being like the hired hand, not caring for the sheep. The Pharisees are living off the people. They are oppressing their sheep rather than caring for them. And so from the context of chapter 9 again, the blind man being healed, interrogated and insulted by the Pharisees, his parents being dragged in, these are the actions of the bad shepherds. And so when you think of a shepherd, we're not really to think of a shepherd and be over-sentimental and think of the image of Jesus holding a little sheep and us being, you know, all being cute and fuzzy. The reality is that a shepherd's job was severe and tiring and hazardous. The point of focus is on the bad shepherd here and the hired hand, who has no commitment to the sheep. When danger comes, he flees. The good shepherd, by contrast, owns the sheep, which speaks to his unique and passionate commitment to them. And then he goes on to explain how the good shepherd acts. He lays down his life for the sheep. He doesn't bail out and run away when the wolves come. This is the true test of the good shepherd. The shepherd stands firm at the gate, using stones and staff, and is not willing to sacrifice even one sheep to satisfy the enemy. The Greek word hyper is used a lot in John, and it means to die for. That shows the commitment of the shepherd to his sheep. The second point is the identity of the sheep. The sheep know my voice. The sheep can discern who their true master is. I have other sheep, he says in verse 16. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is seeking unity for his sheep. He's almost certainly here talking about other Jews, unbelieving Jews, and Gentiles, which ultimately is you and me and us. Jesus is anticipating in detail the wider scope of his ministry to the world. There is a mutual knowledge between the sheep and the shepherd. They are used to the voice of the shepherd. And what is striking here is the intimacy between the sheep and the shepherd. And this is what brings us to my third point, which is the Father's love. Five times in the passage, Jesus says, "I will lay down my life." I don't know if you recognize this man. This man's name was Timothy J. McCarthy, and this is a picture of him taken moments before he dived in front of President Reagan in March 1981 and took a bullet for him, as if it were, literally. So he saw the gunman, and he jumped in front of President Reagan and probably saved his life. So that assassination attempt just highlights to me how, you know, Jesus would take a bullet for us. It's very, you know, this man, it was a Secret Service agent. That was him literally standing next to the president, and he threw himself in front of the president when he saw the bullets. Jesus would take a bullet for us, just like this man took a bullet for the president. I think he was injured and he made a recovery over several years, and he's still alive. But consider how much Jesus loves you, that he values the life of his sheep more than his own as our shepherd. With Timothy McCarthy here, there's an understanding that as a bodyguard or as a secret agent, that he would protect the president. There's a clear understanding that the president is one of the most important men in the modern world. And as agent or bodyguard, his role is to protect the president no matter what. He is subservient to the president. And yet Jesus, as the shepherd, sees himself in the same way, as subservient to us, even though he's the shepherd and we're just the sheep. Jesus affords us the protection worthy of a president. But the key is this, that his love is motivated by the love that is between Jesus and his Father. His profound relationship with God characterizes the intimacy he seeks with his followers, as he and his Father share a powerful love and a profound love. So this explains the willingness of Jesus to die for his sheep. It's not merely about obedience to God or about personal honor. Rather, Jesus is prepared to die because of his profound commitment to those he loves. In Ephesians 5, Paul writes, Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. And so how does this relate to us? I'll be honest this week, I've struggled a little bit when I've come to this passage in terms of trying to put together some sort of application. I've been away recently, and I don't know about you, but often when you take time out or go on holiday or do something different, you often find that you're a bit unsettled. That's the way I felt over the last few weeks. Sometimes I find myself questioning my purpose, my role, and as life slows down around me, sometimes I struggle to slow down with it. And preparing this week, sometimes I found myself getting anxious, wanting to be in control, wanting God to speak to me. And so in my anxiety this week, God has reminded me that I am his sheep, that I am hemmed in behind and before, safe in the pen, where he is both the gate and the good shepherd, willing to do all it takes to protect me. He spots the danger before it even arises and protects me from it without me even knowing it. And so if you are anxious about anything this week, or if you suffer from anxiety, then I want to encourage you that Jesus is actively protecting you, even if you don't know it. Jesus knows all about you, your frailties, how you struggle. We are mere docile sheep, yet he is willing to lay down his life for us. And moreover, he did with his death and resurrection, which was to come after this. And often with me, when I examine any anxiety I may have, I often struggle with just being content. I can be guilty of looking for more, trying to constantly be in control, and maybe not having enough gratitude for what I have. And this week I see the Good Shepherd trying to steer me through a safe passage, protecting me from any stray bullets, having my best interest at heart. And that encourages me to be grateful, to be content, to enjoy being part of his flock. And so that is my hope for you this week, to be encouraged, to be content, to be grateful. Jesus lays down his life for you today. He is in control so that you don't have to be. And finally, we do need to be aware of the bad shepherds. There are bad shepherds out there, and we need to be able to listen out for the voice of the shepherd and not be taken in by the bad shepherds. But the good news is that we, as his sheep, were able to discern his voice. So we should seek that intimacy between the sheep and the shepherd this week. Be willing to call out the bad shepherds, even if it means creating those bad vibes like in the restaurant. And live in the knowledge that Jesus laid down his life for you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have laid down your life for each of us. We thank you that you love us intimately and individually. Help us this week to be able to listen and know your voice. May we be encouraged by your determination to protect us from bad shepherds. And help us to be good shepherds to those we minister to this week.